Psalm chapter 61 declares this to us. Hear my cry, O God. Give heed to my prayer. From the end of the earth I call to you when my heart is faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been a refuge for me, a tower of strength against the enemy. Let me dwell in your tent forever. Let me take refuge in the shelter of your wings. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this word. My God, I thank you. Lord, I heard people talking about the revelation, the comfort that you had been giving all week, talking about turning to you in times of fear, a time of trouble, that you are refuge, that you are a rock, and Lord, that is the word you have laid upon my heart for this congregation. I thank you, Lord, that we see a body of believers who are indeed in one accord and hearing from God and hearing the word of the Lord that is declared. Today, Father, I pray that you would find good ground in these hearts, Lord, to plant this good seed. Father, if there's anything in our hearts, your word says you will break up the fallow ground. Any hard areas, any areas that we are unable to receive this word, whether it is our lack of understanding of your word or a bad experience that we've had in our lives that have left us with a predisposition to accept things the way they are. Lord, whatever it is, I pray that you would remove it, break up that fallow ground so this word would be planted and bear much fruit. Lord, we are looking for the rock that is higher than I, that we can turn to in our times of trouble, that we can stand on amid the storms of adversity and know that we are sheltered in your refuge. Father, we thank you that you have prepared this for us today in this discipleship hour. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Amen. Go ahead and give God praise. Give God praise in his house. Hallelujah. 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 As you've seen it, look at your neighbor and tell him, I'm going to the rock. My God, what a powerful scripture. When the psalmist declares to us, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. We may sit and ask ourselves, who is this rock? Where is this rock? What is this rock? I believe the first and clearest picture of this truth is found during the Exodus in the example of Moses. During the Exodus, Moses is brokenhearted and consumed by frustration. It's a very difficult time for him in ministry. It is a very difficult time for the people of God. In this wilderness, Moses was reluctant to do the work of God. But he left his comfortable living and obeyed God. Pastor Willie, can you get the humming out of this thing, or just take me out of the monitor entirely, please? In Egypt, Moses squared off against the most powerful of the earthly enemies. At the Red Sea, he had stood in faith when destruction seemed imminent. Now, during the Exodus, Moses is dealing with dissension and complaints and issues with people who don't understand what God is trying to do in their lives. Yet as Moses stands atop Mount Horeb, receiving the word and the law of God, he finds that the situation gets even worse. Because now, instead of just complaining that they don't have meat to eat, or complaining that it's hot out in the wilderness and the journey is taking long, at Mount Horeb, they do the unthinkable. Instead of consecrating themselves and getting in the presence of God, they decide to keep living the way that they were living and take all of their gold and create a golden calf, which they named Jehovah. They say, behold, Aaron himself, Moses' brother, the high priest, says, behold Jehovah, who led you out of Egypt. The people have created God into what they wanted him to be. Instead of letting God create them in his image, instead of letting God transform them into his image, they created God into what they wanted him to be. Moses has delivered the people out of bondage only to find that they are still slaves. He has brought them to a place where they can know God only to realize they would rather create God in their image. I imagine that anger and frustration churned with volcanic fury as Moses returned from atop Mount Horeb. And it's in this point in the Bible he throws down the tablets that contain the Ten Commandments and shatters the stones at the foot of the mountain. Can I tell you, friends, hear me when I say this. Sometimes when people let you down, sometimes when the call of God has left you frustrated, like Moses, you will hold up empty hands and realize that now you have broken the commandments of God. Because in your frustrations, because of your genuine passion to see people delivered. Thank you. You will find a very despairing time. I don't know. Let me ask you, is there anyone in the house today who has a loved one that is not in the house of God today, and you have told them and told them and told them and invited them to church, and they've seen God work in their lives time and again, yet they continue to walk in the path that does not lead them to God? And you kind of you see some hands raising up around here. There's folks who have that in your life. And you just want to pull out your hair and you're like, what don't you understand? Do you not know where you are headed? Do you not know what the end result of this is going to be? It's a frustrating thing. And there is Moses in this. And now he's thrown down the Ten Commandments. And in the physical, literal breaking of those stones, we see that many times, if we're not careful, we will also break the law of God. And that's the worst hurt of all. Moses is now in a place of utter despair. He begs God, please forgive these people of this great sin. Later on, he will tell the Lord, look, God, if you're not going to forgive them, just take my life right here and now. I don't want to go on like this. I don't know about you, but not because of any issue with the small church, but just the way the world is going, the way things are happening in America. You know, we have situations in which now with the homosexual agenda getting the equality rights, the National Cathedral rang its bells at the announcement of the Supreme Court, celebrating the fact that America had finally embraced the love that God intended for all. The National Cathedral celebrated the fact that homosexuality is approved in America in all manners, including marriage. I read yesterday that two pastors are beaten severely for proclaiming the Word of God on a street corner in London. In Seattle, though they were arrested in London, they were mercilessly beaten by homosexuals in Seattle at a protest where they were simply saying, repent, God loves you. And I look at, and it's not just those situations. The decline of morality, the reality that 1984, George Orwell's great work is quickly moving into the nonfiction category. And the world is turning its back on God. And there are times when I just say, Lord, I know you have a work to do, but if you wanted to go ahead and rapture us, I'd be okay with that. I'm ready to go home. Does anybody else know how I feel? You just ready to go home? That's how Moses was. He said, God, I'm just ready to go home. But there was still a work for Moses to do. And there's still a work for us to do. By the time we get to Exodus 32, Moses' situation actually goes from bad to worse. Not only are the people giving him grief, but now God is angry with them. So angry that he tells Moses, their sin remains and punishment is coming. I'll send you an angel to lead you into the promised land, but I'm not going. I have nothing else to do with this. And Moses cries out to God. And he says, Lord, if you're not going to be in the promise, I would rather be in the wilderness with you. Lord, don't take me into the promised land without you. Just leave me in the wilderness with you. What a tough place to be. That's not the heart's cry I hear in modern Christianity. They want the promise. They want the blessing. They want God to answer it. They want God to fix it. They want God to prevent it. But Moses said, no, Lord, I just want to be with you. And if that means I've got to stay in the wilderness, I'll stay in the wilderness. The people begin to pitch their tents, gather their families, and get ready to move. They're heading to the promise. But the Bible says Moses walked out of the camp and entered the tent of meeting to speak with God once more. Starting in verse 12 of Exodus 33, Moses says to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you, and that I may find grace in your sight. And consider that this nation is your people. And God responds and says, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. And Moses answers and says, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except that you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth. Moses is saying, God, if you'll stay with us, we'll be better, we'll change. The Lord says to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. And Moses, being bold, he's got God to agree to two things. He brings a third. He says, Lord, please show me your glory. In verse 18, have you ever been at that place where you've got a word from God? God has said, I'm going to be with you through this sickness. I'm going to be with you through this tribulation. I'm going to be with you through this financial difficulty. I'm going to be with you during this time where you're separated from your spouse because of military deployments or whatever the case might be. I'm going to be with you while you're praying for your kids and your grandkids and you're not seeing them come out of the wilderness. I'm going to be with you. And then you say, okay, God, thank you. You're going to be with me, but I just need to know it. Can I see your glory? Can I feel your presence like I never have before? Can you do something for me, God, to just reassure me, to just let me know, to help me out? Lord, I'm weak. I'm tired. I've been beaten down by this. I am worried. I am fatigued spiritually and physically and emotionally. And God, I need to know that you're there like I've never known before. Here was God's answer to Moses. He said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. Listen to what he said. I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. And the Lord said, here is a place by me. You shall stand on the rock. Here is a place by me. You shall stand on the rock. So it shall be while my glory passes that I will put you in the cleft of the rock. I will cover you with my hand while I pass by. And when I take away my hand, you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. In 11 short verses, the 11 verses I just read to you, Moses goes from the lowest point in his life to the greatest blessing he will ever receive. That's the God we serve right there. In 11 verses, from the lowest point in his life to the greatest blessing, the greatest blessing he will receive. You mean greater than the moment that God spared him as a child? Greater. Greater than when God called to him in the wilderness through a burning bush? Greater. Greater than when God gave him victory in Egypt? Greater than all of the 10 plagues combined. Greater than the deliverance at the Red Sea? Greater than that. Greater even than the moment that he saw the presence of God on Mount Horeb and God's own finger wrote the 10 commandments in stone. Greater even than that. I believe this to be the greatest blessing in Moses' life. Now, before I explain that, let me show you how Moses transposed from despair to delight. Because many of us come to that place. If you are not at that place now, you're going to come to that place. As Pastor Willie said earlier, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them from all. Here is the problem we have in Christianity. We don't know how God delivers us from them all. We don't know what our role is. We don't know what God expects of us. We don't know how God's going to do it. We just sit back and memorize the scripture and say, Lord, my afflictions are many, but you'll deliver me from all. And we go about our business. See, but here is Moses saying, okay, Lord, you're saying you'll deliver me, great. How? What do I need to do? What are you going to do? Where is this going to happen? As the psalmist said, Lord, take me to the rock that is higher than I. I want to talk to you today about getting to that place. Notice that Moses opens by saying, show me now your way that I may know you. I want you to know today, if you need to get to that place where you're just standing in the presence of God and you feel His presence and you know He's there and you are strengthened by Him and you are protected by Him and you are motivated to go further and do the work of God. It starts right there. Show me now your way. What Moses is saying is, hey, my way ain't working, God. So show me your way. Whew, that's a tough first step. I don't know about you, I'm a fan of Bugs Bunny, and I love that one on the construction site where he says, hey, watch that first step, Mac, it's a Lulu. You know, and the guy steps off and he plummets about, you know what I'm talking about, you're a fellow Bugs Bunny lover, God bless you. Power to the people. Man, what a first step. But it's a necessary one. It's Moses stepping back and saying, God, I ain't got it right. I don't have all the answers. I've made some mistakes. I can't get there in my own wisdom. I can't do this in my own strength. Lord, I need you to show me. Your word still says that your Bible is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Your word still says that I am to trust you with all my heart, lean not on my own understanding. But if I will acknowledge you in all my ways, you will direct my path. So I'm turning to you, God. Show me your way. Moses followed. If you notice, he said, look, if you're not going with us, don't bring us up from here. Is that our heart? What's our motto at this discipleship hour? Christianity ain't for wimps. There's a time, the Apostle Paul put it this way, examine yourself. There comes a time when we have to ask, God, am I after the blessing or the blesser? God, am I trying to build my kingdom or yours? Moses comes to a place where he says, I don't care about a land flowing with milk and honey. I don't care about riches and reward. Lord, if you're not there, I'd rather stay in the wilderness where you are. We live in a society, in a Christian age, where people don't want to be in the wilderness. They don't want to go through the trial. But many times that's right where God is, and that's where he's closest to us. Moses is at the lowest point of his life. Listen, let's say it as it is. He is suicidal. He despairs of his life. And he comes to meet with God and says, I need to know you. I need to know what you want me to do. And I need to know that you are with me. Bless you. And he follows up with one more request. Lord, please show me your glory. Let me talk to someone who is at the end of the rope today. You're frustrated. You're tired. Sometimes you're not even interested in moving forward. You just want to sit down and not worry about it, not deal with it. You come to a place where you say, God, I need to know you're there. What do you want me to do? I believe God's answer is similar to what he said to Moses. He said, you have found grace in my sight. I know you by name. I want you to know today, God hasn't forgotten you. God hasn't lost you. God hasn't ignored you. He knows exactly where you are. He knows you by name. And listen as he cries out to you today. Behold, there is a place here beside me. Come, stand with me upon the rock. Oh, the psalmist cried out, Lord, take me to the rock that is higher than I. I want to tell you today, friends, when you're weary, when you're beaten down, when you're broken down, when you don't know where to turn, when you don't know if you have enough strength to endure, what you need to do is get to the rock. You need to get to that place where you stand with God. And you can get a revelation of him like you've never known before. Yes, many are the afflictions of the righteous. And yes, the Lord will deliver them from all. And here's how he does it. He says, look, turn from your way, follow my way. And when you do that, get in my presence, get up on the rock, and let me stand with you and show you something and comfort you and strengthen you in your time of need. Can somebody give God a hand clap of praise? Now we know today that Jesus is the rock of our salvation. He is the rock of ages. The stone that the builders rejected, which has become the chief cornerstone. Jesus is the rock upon which I stand. I submit to you, it's the same rock that Moses stood on. Now you might say, well, Pastor, maybe you should read your Bible. That happened a whole long time before Jesus. Well, let me also tell you that Jesus existed a whole long time before Moses. He was in the beginning. All things were created through him. He's always been there. And he's always been God's answer. Notice what God said. God explains to Moses that no one can see his face and live. But I'll put you in the cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand. My God, I could preach a month of Sundays on that right there, Pastor Frank. I just want to be hidden in Christ and covered by God. Can I tell you, if you get hidden in Christ and covered by God, there ain't no devil that can touch you. But today we're talking about a revelation. We're not talking about being protected from the devil. We're talking about being in the presence of the Almighty. And God said, look, you can't see. God the Father said, you can't see my face and live. He's too holy. He said, but I'm going to do something for you. I'm going to give you what you need. He said, when I pass by, I'm going to take away my hand and you shall see my back. Some translations say, you shall see my shoulders. The problem with this is that that is not a very good translation. If you have one of the most recent translations, it might not say those words, and here's why. The Hebrew word that Moses uses when he writes this, God said, I will show you my achor, which means shoulders, but also has another meaning. It means afterward, hereafter, or time to come. When the translators read that word, they said, okay, it either means shoulders or hereafter, afterward, time to come. Well, God said you couldn't see his face, so he probably showed him his shoulders. Well, the problem with that is, since when did seeing God's shoulders change your life? Right? Have you ever heard someone at the altar crying, oh God, if I could only see your shoulders? God wasn't telling Moses, hey, I'll show you my shoulder. God was saying this, I know you're in a struggle. And I know you feel empty and alone. I can't show you my face or you will die. But I'll hide you in the rock. And I'll cover you with my hand. And I'm going to pull it away just long enough for you to see what's going to happen afterwards. And what's going to happen in the time to come. I know you don't understand what you're going through. I know you don't understand why you're struggling this way. But I'm going to show you my ultimate plan. I'm going to show you what's going to transpire. I'm going to give you the big picture so that you can know. My God. He was about to show Moses what was going to transpire. So Moses had a better understanding of why he was going through what he was going through. But let me just pause for a moment if I could say this. If God is coming to Moses, all right, First Lady, will you stand up here for a moment? You're going to be Moses. I'm sure he wasn't that pretty, but you just do what you can. And he's got Moses hidden in the cleft of the rock. And God says, you can't look at my face or you'll die. But I'm going to pass by you. And once I pass by you, what you'll be able to see is what's coming. You know what that means? Where's God coming from? Your future. If I may steal a Michael J. Fox, he's got his back to the future. In other words, God's already been where you're going. And he's passing by Moses saying, hey, I know you're struggling now, but I'm going to show you where I just came from and what I'm doing back in your future. My God, that's a reason to praise God. You ain't anywhere today that God wasn't yesterday. He's already been there. Whew. My God. When you come to that time of need, know that God has his back to your future. He's already been there. He's already making a way. The New Testament calls Jesus the pioneer, the archegos in the Greek. Meaning he's blazing the path. You know, how can Jesus say, I am the way if he didn't make the way? Which means he's already been where you're going. And he's already made a way for you, which means he already knows everything you're going to face. That's how the Bible could still say that all things will work together for good for those who love God and are the called according to his purpose. Because God's already in your future. That's how Mordecai could tell Esther, you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Because God already knew what was needed. That's how Joseph could tell his brothers, you meant it as evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this day to save many people. God is telling someone in the house right now, you are struggling, you are heartbroken, you are weary, you are frustrated, but I'm already moving in your future. I'm already working things out. I have for you a future and a hope. And if you'll just get to the rock that is higher than I. If you'll just get with Jesus. He may just show you what is lying ahead. Oh, there's been many times in my life, church, I got to tell you, there's been many times. There's been times that I've said, Lord, did I blow it? Did I miss you? There's been times that I didn't have to ask that. Come on, you all been there too. I hope so, or else we got pride issues. There's been times where I've come to God and I said, I blew it. I missed the mark on this, God. There's been times where I didn't want to go on, where I didn't feel that there was a way out, but I knew the Word of God said that He wouldn't put more on me than I'm able to bear, and that He's made a way of escape. And so I've gone to God and I've said, Lord, I need to see this. I need to get on the rock. I want to tell you something today, friends. Here's what God's telling someone. You need to get a piece in the rock. I know the commercial says get a piece of the rock. A P-I-C-E. P-I-E-C-E. You wouldn't know I was a journalist, would you? Whew. The commercial says get a piece of the rock. But I'm telling you to get a piece, P-E-A-C-E, in the rock. Get in the rock of our salvation. Get in the rock of ages. Let God cover you. And just say, Lord, let me share a revelation with you. When Elijah gets done calling down fire at Mount Carmel, and the enemy looks to destroy him, he flees. For 40 days he's on a journey. And the Bible says he goes to Mount Horeb, to a specific place in the mountain, and enters into a small cave. You know where he went? The exact same place Moses did. Moses was on Mount Horeb, and God hit him in the cleft of the rock. Elijah the prophet not only has the Holy Spirit revealing things to him, he's got the writings of Moses. And he is suicidal. And he's ready to quit. And he's saying, Lord, there are none that are standing with me. Lord, we brought down fire. Now they're trying to kill me. God, I'm done. And God says, get to the rock. Now they went to a literal place. The same place. But I want to tell you, it was a picture of the rock of our salvation. And now God says, no matter what you're facing today, get to the rock that is higher than you. Get to the rock of your salvation. Get to that secret place, that hidden place with God. Get to the place where He will cover you. Where you could say, God, I just need to know that You're here. Let God show you, I've got this situation. I am in Your tomorrow. You don't have to worry about how it's going to turn out. All you got to do is walk with me. The steps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord, and He delights in their way. Though they may fall, they shall not be utterly cast down, for He will uphold them with His righteous hand. God said, look at your neighbor and say, God's got this. God's got this. Whatever you're facing today, God's got this. What is our role? Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them from all. What is our role then? Our role is simply this. Get alone with Jesus. I like that song that Sherry Easter used to sing. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock of my salvation. Spend a little time with Jesus. Tell Him all about our sorrow. But it goes beyond that. God says, behold, listen to me, church. This is a word from the Lord for each and every person today. He's calling out to you as He did to Moses. If He did it for Moses, He would do it for Elijah. If He did it for Elijah, He'll do it for you. Why? Because there is no ranking in the kingdom of God. He is no respecter of persons. And He calls out today, behold, here is a place by me. Let me hide you in the rock. Let me cover you. I'll not only protect you, I'll not only satisfy you and strengthen you. You know, when Moses came off that mountain, the glory of God was on him so strong, the people asked him to put a veil over his face. He had been in the presence of God. But here's what most people, you hear that preached all the time, the glory shining off the face. Here's what a lot of people don't talk about. The fact is that when Moses came off that mountain, he never struggled with depression again. He never worried about another thing. He never dealt with suicidal thoughts again. He never worried. He was just at peace. Even when they brought him problems, it's all good. God's got this. Elijah was the same way. When he came off that mountain, the man begging God to take his life came off that mountain and trained up Elisha and continued to do mighty works for God until God was so pleased with him, he took him away in a fiery chariot. Elijah had no more stress about it. Didn't mean he didn't have more problems, but he had an answer. He had an absolute. And the only place you get that is in the rock. Jesus is the rock. The Bible says he will give you a peace that passes understanding. That in the midst of calamity, you'll have a peace. Why? Because you'll be able to say, God's got this. You'll know the Christians who have that when you meet them. You'll know the ones who have been on the rock. Because it's all good. But you know, every now and then we need to hit that rock. I don't know about you, but there are times in my life where I just need to get alone with God and know, Lord, you're with me. And not only are you with me, but Lord, what are you doing here? How's this going to turn out? What is it you want us to do? I'm going to open up this altar in just a moment. I want to ask you today, where are you in that endeavor? Listen, understand this. God in heaven, please, Holy Spirit, let this resonate. So many times we feel like if we go to the rock or we go to the altar, people are going to look at us and say, oh, they've screwed something up, or they ain't got it all together. Or boy, I thought that they were stronger in the Lord than that. Okay, show of hands. Who in here is stronger in the Lord than Moses or Elijah? Maybe my hand ain't up. But they needed it. Why? Because we've all struggled. There was only one man who was perfect. And he is the rock. I want to tell you right now, admitting to God and coming and saying, Lord, hide me in your rock. That doesn't mean you're less of a man or woman of God. It means you're more of a man or woman of God. Because you're able to say, Lord, you are God and I am not. And I don't have it all figured out. And I need your help. And I need to know you're here. We need to get back to a Christian age where prayer is our first priority, not our last resort. We need to be led by the Spirit. Those are the sons of God. We need to find refuge in God once more. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you, Lord, I have spent 30 minutes giving an invitation. I have obeyed your word, Lord, and I trust you, God, that your word has found good ground as you promised it would. That we understand now, Lord, that it happens to all of us. That Paul despaired of life at one point in his ministry. Moses and Elijah. Timothy was ready to give it up. Peter nearly did. Time and again, Lord, we see people in the Scriptures who just come to the end of their rope, but then they come to a place. They stand on the rock and they encounter you and your glory. Lord, I'm asking for that today. For all of those who are in the house, whether it is on behalf as they are praying and trying to minister to a loved one, a child or a grandchild or a sibling or a parent, frustrated with their jobs, their health, financial situations, burdened down by the pressures of this life, whatever it is, God, the psalmist cried out, take me to the rock that is higher than I. Lord, we're going to do something symbolically today. In the same way that Moses had to get to Mount Horeb and go into a specific cleft in the rock. In the same way that Elijah traveled for 40 days to get to that exact same spot. Lord, I know that there is not a spot on the side of a mountain in the Middle East that holds our answer. That mountain was a picture of you, Jesus. But Lord, in much the same way, we're going to stand up. And we're going to come to this altar. And it's going to be a spiritual cleft. It's going to be that place in Jesus where you can just cover us with your embrace. Where you can strengthen us and encourage us. Where you can show us. And not only what the future holds, but give us that peace to know that you've got this. That you have your back to our future. That you are the author and the finisher. That you know the end from the beginning. Thank you for this invitation today, Lord. God, as we prepare to enter into the cleft of the rock, we ask you, Lord, show us your glory. Show us your glory. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. This altar's open. This cleft in the rock is open to all who would say, God, show me your